You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Irish Racing Podcast with Andy Holding. Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcasts. Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to the William Hill Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to tonight's Irish action in Leopardstown. My name is Mark Walton. I'm joined on the line by William Hill Radio's Irish racing expert, Andy Holding. How are you, Andy?
Morning, Mark.
Are you well, sir?
I am indeed.
Good, good man. Leopardstown tonight, Andy. We've got some potentially useful two-year-olds on show. We've got a listed race as well. So what do you make of it tonight?
Yeah, it's not a particularly strong Leopardstown card for midweek. It's got a very much pre-Ascot feel to it. Obviously, the big race of the night is the 7.25, which is the Glencairn Stakes, a listed race. So that brings together a decent field and a field of eight as well. So nice each-way betting shape to it. And yeah, we could have some nice two-year-olds on show. Port Douglas took the 6.25 last year, and word on the street that Aidan O'Brien might have a two-year-old at least as equal, if not better, than that horse at 12 months ago. So yeah, there's a decent amount of interest, albeit not of the high standard that we're used to over the Irish seat at present.
Let's get stuck into it, though. Winners to be found along the way. The 5.55 is the first race this evening. We start with an Irish Stallion Farms EBF Fillies Maiden over 7 furlongs. The market this morning headed by O'Grace, who is 9-4 from 11-4. It's 5-2 for Butterflies. Mujazi is 5-1 on the slide from 7-2 as well. 6-1 for Perplexity. 9-1 Alfiba, and 10s or bigger for the others. The only one with experience, Andy, is the one at the top of the market. Do you think that'll pay off here?
It could well do, yeah. I mean, she's shown a fair level of form so far today, to O'Grace. The fact that Jim Bulger put her in a listed race last time suggests that he does hold her in quite high regard. And albeit she only finished 6th and didn't really better finishing positions anyway than her previous runs at Nace and Navan respectively, it was certainly a better effort on the figures, and the fact that it was drawn, she was drawn in stall 13, and that's a row about down the centre of the track. You could probably upgrade that performance. So, you know, she's definitely the one to beat, as we can see on the form. But obviously there's one or two interesting horses up against her, most notably Butterflies. I'm not sure whether the Tabors and Derek Smith have named this horse after that hit 1970/1980s TV sitcom with Wendy Craig and Nicola Sindhurst in it, of course, one for the old school there. She's very much an interesting runner, obviously being by Galileo, and you know, related to the likes of Giant's Causeway as well down the line. So it wouldn't surprise me if an unraced horse to them was to step up to the plate in this race and take a leading role. But I'm going to have to stick with the form and go with O'Grace. Like I say, I think the performance last time out certainly suggests she's capable of winning a race, and the fact she's up in trip as well, well, should also suit. So I'll go with her.
Second race is the 6.25, race number 2 on the card. It's an EBF maiden for Colts and Geldings. It's over 7 furlongs. Douglas MacArthur is the 4-6 favourite here. 9-2 for Magnification. Currency Converter 9-1. Pipes of Peace 9-1. 10s for Eagle Spirit, and 12-1 or bigger prices for the other two. Aidan O'Brien has 3 runners in here. Joseph O'Brien has one as well. A newcomer from the Dermot Well Yard. Quite an interesting maiden this, Andy, but there has been a few whispers about Douglas MacArthur, who's pretty short at the top of the market. So what are your thoughts in the 6.25?
Yeah, you'd like to think he'd be useful, this Douglas MacArthur. I mean, he cost a tidy packet, didn't he? 1,255,000 guineas, to be precise. And he's been backed accordingly, as if you know, that price tag is going to be well and truly justified at the first time of asking. Of course, this race last year went the way of Port Douglas, so if the vibes are right and Aidan O'Brien likes to run some of his best colts in this particular race, then this horse should be doing the business first time out. Whatever happens, he's certainly going to be an interesting runner for the future. And, you know, it's not as if this race won't tell us, you know, what exactly he's capable of, because we've got a nice horse in the shape of Ken Conlon's Magnification, who's already had a couple of runs in a couple of decent maidens at the Curragh and Navan, to give us a fair guide. And as you mentioned, we've also got representatives from not only Aidan himself, but Joseph and Dermot Well. So, yeah, I think this race is definitely worth setting the video with. Obviously, I'm going to go with Douglas MacArthur because the market seems to be going in that direction, but albeit I wouldn't be backing it at 4-6. So very much one of the interesting races on the card, so do keep an eye on horses that run in behind, hopefully, the winner, Douglas MacArthur.
Douglas MacArthur then to make a winning debut in the 6.25. The 6.55 is race number 3. This one is an apprentice handicap over a mile. Deeds Not Words heads the market at 3-1 this morning. It's 100-30 for Beat the Ballot. Poetic Choice 7-2, 13-2 for Windsor Beach. Emperor Bob 7s, it's also 7s for Total Demolition. And Indian Tomahawk is 16-1, the outsider of the field. What are your thoughts in race number 3, Andy?
Yeah, not a particularly strong race either, and only 7 runners, so it doesn't really sort of float my boat really. But there's no doubt that Deeds Not Words, on the evidence of his last 2 or 3 starts, is certainly up to winning a race of this nature, and he's been back to Cornley this morning. I wasn't really overly convinced this horse was a miler waiting to happen, or a mile winner waiting to happen off the evidence of his previous runs, but I thought he shaped quite encouragingly over his new distance here the last day. Of course, it was a week ago behind Beach Mount Whisper when, from an uncompromising position, he stayed on quite eye-catchingly in the latter stages to suggest that perhaps connections are right with this horse and perhaps he does need further than what he's been running over. Of course, in the past, majority of his runs have been over 6 and 7 furlongs, and that's probably the reason why he hasn't won this season, as helped him to think that perhaps that they're knocking the head against the wall with him. Opposition-wise, well, a lot of these horses have been regulars on the all-weather circuit throughout the winter, the likes of Poetic Choice and Beat the Ballot, etc., etc. So it's not as if they're playing on their number one surface either. So I'm probably only left with tipping one horse here. He's certainly well clear on my speed figures, courtesy of several big numbers he's produced in good handicaps. And Deeds Not Words, with that good run under his belt here last week, hopefully has got a good chance of finally getting off the mark for his new connections.
Deeds Not Words for Andy in the 6.55 onto the 7.25, the feature race of the evening, the Glencairn Stakes, a listed race over a mile. Foxtrot Charlie, the unexposed 3-year-old, heads the market here, 2-1 into 13-8 this morning. 4-1 for Tennessee Wildcat, Eleval is 5-1, 7-1 for Yufton, 8-1 Hurricane Cass and Orsia, and 25s for either of the other two. Who would you side with in the big race of the night then, Andy?
Yeah, without a shadow of a doubt, Tennessee Wildcat is my pick here, and quite a confident one at that as well. I'm quite surprised to see him trading at 4-1. I feel like I don't really get what all the fuss is about for Foxtrot Charlie, why he's such a short price, albeit he ran well here, at the Curra on softish ground a month ago. I just think Tennessee Wildcat has got everything in his favour here tonight. I'm surprised he's not market leader. Not only did he win this race last year, which obviously fuels the theory that connections have had this race in mind ever since, but it was an eye-catching run on his seasonal reappearance, just like it was 12 months ago when he had a nice little spin to finish third in preparation for this race. And that race behind An Amber and Hassinpour at Nacy the day was a race full of promise. For a start-off, he carried 10 stone, top weight in a very competitive race that was run at a sound tempo. Secondly, it was over 7 furlongs, a distance short of his best. And more importantly as well, he raced right on the outside of the field in the home straight, which, given that the far side row was the golden highway on the car, all the way through the car that night, it was a more commendable effort than at first suggested. So he's got plenty going for him. Other than that as well, he's got fast ground to race on for the first time for quite a while. So it's very, very hard to see Tennessee Wildcat not running well. And if he runs it to the level that allowed him to beat the likes of Captain Joy and Brendan Bracken here 12 months ago, he's going to be very, very difficult to beat in regaining his crown. So Tennessee Wildcat, a strong choice here in the 7.25 here tonight in Leopardstown.
Strong choice for Andy there then. In the listed race, the 7.55 is the fifth race on the card. This one is a maiden over a mile and a quarter. And Anne Callinaga heads the market at 8-11. Jim Bolger's well-bred filly trying to get off the mark. The third time of asking, 4-1 for Treasure Chest, Striking Gold 5-1, 6-1 Elusive Cowboy, 33's Adna Carrig, and Midnight Rush is the 50-1 outsider. Who would you go with in the 7.55, and is this a good opportunity for the favourite?
It would seem it. This is quite a weakish maiden for the track standard, so I think it's a good bit of placing for a start-off by Jim Bolger with his Anne Callinaga, who improved upon her first effort at Nace on her reappearance or a racecourse appearance to finish second to Aidan O'Brien's Earring down at Garran the other day when strongly fancied to take that contest. With normal improvement, then she's very much the one to beat here. The problem is I just can't force myself to back her at a very, very skinny price. I don't really want to be taking 4-5, 4-6 to find out whether she wins this race. I'd sooner bet in the without the favourite market here, Elusive Cowboy, to chase home on Colleen Orca. Because he's run last time when we saw him behind the likes of Houses of Parliament and Flying Bullet. Suggests that he's probably the best of the other three in the market behind the favourite. The way he finished off his race at Dundalk, as I said last time out back in April, suggests that he'll certainly be improving as his racing continues. He's very much learning on the job that day. And the time figure of that race is such that it puts him well clear of the likes of Striking Gold and Treasure Chest, who've got to improve markedly on what they've done on their last two starts, respectively. So, I'm not prepared to say back the favourite at a short price, but I am, however, prepared to go in quite strongly here on Elusive Cowboy to chase him home, or certainly bet without the favourite.
Elusive Cowboy then to chase home the favourite there. In the 7.55, the 8.25 is race number 6 on the card. This one is a staying handicap over a mile and 7 furlongs. McKinley heads the market at 11-8. Been supported from 13-8 this morning as well. And 13-2 for Abraham. Second in, Venetia is 15-2. 8-1 for Mandatario. 8-1 for Giant's Quest and Sense of Victory as well. 10s are bigger for the rest. What do you make of the 8.25, Andy? Pretty short price favourite for Willie Mullins here.
Yeah, Willie does like to plunge the odd race here then everywhere with his flat horses. I'm sure he'll have plenty of horses lined up for the Royal Meeting next week. And confidence will be boosted going into the Royal Meeting next week if McKinley does the business here for the Master Jumps trainer. Of course, this horse on the flat hasn't been seen out since 2013, but in the interim, he's won many, many races subsequently, including a Grade 1 contest, of course, at Nace several seasons back. He's been plying his trade pretty well as well this season. He managed to win a novice's chase. But more importantly, he landed a very competitive Grade 2 handicap hurdle at Sandown on the final day of the jump season when he beat a decent field of 17 in the end quite comfortably. And I had a chat, actually, funny enough, with Willie Mullins after that particular race. And he was saying that this horse is pretty mercurial character. He just doesn't understand him really well. He does. He just said he doesn't like racing at all. He certainly doesn't like doing what he's supposed to be doing, that's jumping hurdles and fences in the middle of winter. So it's not a bad option or manoeuvre for this horse to go back on the flat. If class and galloping qualities are anything to go by, this horse should really be taking a very, very strong hand here off a mark of just 82. Of course, this will be his first run for New Connections, his connections currently anyway. He used to be trained by Paul Hickey. So there's no doubt that he's going to improve quite significantly on what he's already previously achieved. So McKinley, off a mark of 82, with Pat Smullen booked to do duty in the saddle here, should take all the beating and is the choice in the 8.25.
McKinley then in the 8.25. And the final race on the card is the 8.55. We finish with a handicap over a mile and a quarter. No Biggie is the 2-1 favourite. 3-1 for Ravenshill. Tasty Ginger is 7-2. 13-2 for Okra. 11s are bigger for the rest. Who would you side with in the lucky last, Andy?
Yeah, this is a pretty dismal race to close the card with, a fairly uninspiring bunch going to the post. It wouldn't surprise me if Joseph O'Brien was to have yet another winner. Of course, he had four winners on a spectacular day on his first day with officially with the licence in his hand. And No Biggie was one of those horses that ran on that particular day, and he finished fourth behind Zigzag. Down in Garran. Not a bad effort from this gelding by Lord Shanachill. Certainly a step up on what he's previously achieved. It was a good run, to be fair, the time before, and he was drawn out in the car park in Trap 21 and managed to finish fourth behind Hint of Frost. A repeat of either of those two runs surely going to make him quite difficult to beat here. He would be the number one choice ahead of Ravenshill, who, okay, he ran behind No Biggie the other day, and I suppose you could make a case out for him, but just at the back of my mind, and he was in a claiming the other day at Fairy House in a real bad race won by Saga Sprint. And the fact that Connections decided to put him in such a race and he was 11-1 shot tells you the weakness, A, of that form, and B, the fact that he's second favourite here, the weakness of this race. It wouldn't surprise me if Okra was to improve in the first time blinker. She ran quite well in a decent enough maiden down in Garran the other day. And Uncle Ian Auger, who was second in that race behind Earring, Should give that form a boost early on in the card. So do keep an eye on that form line. But no biggie. He's no great shakes, but neither is this race either. And he should round off a decent day for the O'Brien family.
No biggie in the last then for Andy. As usual, Andy, let's just have a little bit of a summary before you go. If you'll spin us through your selections for Leopardstown one more time then.
Yeah, not that many bets tonight on the Leopardstown card, but there are one or two little tasty morsels here, there and everywhere. So it's not all doom and gloom. In the first race, out, Grace has got the experience and the qualities to go really close and finally get off the mark in the 5.55. All eyes will be on Douglas MacArthur in the 6.25, and he gets a nominated vote there. In the 6.55, the apprentice handicap, deeds not words, certainly suggested that the mile trip is not within his grasp on the evidence of his last run, and he should go very well there. My best bet on the card is Tennessee Wildcat at a whopping 4-1 with most bookmakers at 7.25. He rates a really good each-way bet. 7.55, all eyes on Uncalang Orca, who should get off the mark and win the race for the second year running for the Bulger team. But at the prices this morning, I can't resist a few quid on there without the favourite market on Elusive Cowboy. McKinley looks very well handicapped in the 8.25 on the pick of his national hunt form. And in the final race, not a particularly strong race to end with, but no biggie, who ran well 3 days ago at Gowran, should provide his rookie trainer with yet another winner.
Good work, Andy. Superb stuff. Good luck tonight. Enjoy it. And we'll speak to you again on Sunday morning.
Look forward to it. Cheers, pal.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.